Good morning.
Good morning.
If you have your Bible, I ask you to turn to Luke chapter 12 this morning as we continue our study in the book that Dr. Luke wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. We've been seeing the Lord Jesus presented here as the perfect human being, giving us an opportunity to enjoy gazing on Him. And also to be challenged in our own lives as we hear many lessons spoken by Him, see many things in His life that challenge us, and we look forward to continuing that today. You see before you, behind me, the title of our time together today, Handling the Pressure, something I think we can all relate to in some way or another. My eye was caught by an article this past week concerning the National Basketball Association championships, which will be coming up in just a couple of weeks. They're in the conference finals now, down to four teams. Guys making millions of dollars a year out playing basketball, but you know there's still a lot of pressure on these fellas. The article that I read was going back to four former all-star players who played in the NBA Finals, and they were asking these four players, do you have any suggestions to help some of the guys who will end up being in the finals for the first time ever? The attention of the whole world focused in on 4 to 7 games, depending on how well your team or the other team plays. And they went through and they gave, from their own perspective, some ideas. How do you handle the pressure? How do you handle the pressure? Well, none of us, I don't think I see any NBA prospects in here. They could be a few that I'm overlooking. So you may never be out there with the game on the line and the ball in your hands for a free throw, or you're guarding whoever the player of the year might happen to be at that particular time. You may never be in that situation, but you have pressures of your own. Well, we're going to be looking this morning about some of the pressures that come not just from living life, but pressures that come from following the Lord Jesus. We read back in Luke 9 and verse 23 that the Lord Jesus said, if anyone will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. The Lord Jesus desires that we come to know Him personally through faith, recognizing who He is and why He came and what He did and what He has done for us. And He wants us to be saved, to be born again, to be forgiven of our sins, to be brought into a new life, to be new creations. And in that new creation, He desires that we follow Him. And when we follow Him, the Lord Jesus says, you know, the servant's not above his master. And if you follow me, you need to expect the attitude toward you that I had toward me. And as we ended up chapter 11, and we'll just maybe jump back there very quickly to kind of to bring us into where we are in chapter 12, verse 53 and verse 54. If you remember a couple of weeks ago when we were looking at this and we were seeing the attack of the Pharisees and the experts in the law against the Lord Jesus, and in verse 53 we read, and as He said these things to them, the scribes and the Pharisees began to assail Him vehemently and to cross-examine Him about many things, lying in wait for Him and seeking to catch Him in something He might say that they might accuse Him. Pressure. You see, when that pressure touches the Lord Jesus, the same pressure touches us. Now, the Lord Jesus is in heaven at the right hand of His Father. There's no pressure on Him today. But we're here representing him in this world, those of us who are saved, who've been forgiven of our sins, who do have that relationship with him. And the closer we are seeking to follow him, and let me say that if you say, well, I just want to go to heaven, I'm not concerned about following the Lord Jesus here on the earth. For one thing, I would say you need to really examine your salvation. You see, because the Holy Spirit of God is working in our hearts. And if I don't have any desire to follow the Lord Jesus, I'm not saying that I'm not saved, but I'm saying I need to really examine my heart to see something's going on there. Either I'm not saved or I have drifted away from the Lord Jesus because he desires that I would follow him. And that's what the Holy Spirit wants me to do. And as I am following him in this world, I'm going to experience some pressure. I just want to mention a couple of kinds of sources of general pressure before we get more specifically. A couple of verses, the first from Romans chapter 12. Notice the first phrase in this verse, and do not be conformed to this world. The idea of the conformity is that the world is seeking to impress its pressure upon us that we will be shaped like it is shaped, that we'll think like this world system thinks, that we'll desire the things that this world desires, that we'll live for the reasons this world lives for, and none of those things are for God. The Bible says that the person who's a friend of the world is the enemy of God. So we have the world system here, and we know that Satan is behind that. He's the ruler of this world, John 16:11 says. 2 Corinthians 4:4 tells us he's the god of this age. Ephesians 6:12 tells us that as believers, our battle is not against flesh and blood, but rather it's against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. So we have pressure coming against us from the world that we will be like the world. We have other pressure that's not only external, we have pressure that's internal. Pressure that's internal. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 14, we read these words, Peter speaking about us, that we should be obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lusts. You see, before we were saved, we can go into the Word of God and we can see what was driving our lives. At the time, we didn't know that. But you see, it was our own flesh. It was this world system with Satan behind it, orchestrating the whole thing. But now that we're saved, we're born again, we're made new creations, we have the Spirit of God living within us, but we still have this flesh. I'm still in this human body. I'm still a descendant of Adam. There's a battle going on within me, as well as that battle that I'm fighting against spiritual wickedness in heavenly places. You see, there's pressure. Pressure against you. And the closer you're trying to follow the Lord Jesus, the greater the pressure from the world, from the outside, to shape you. From your inward person, the old you, trying to shape you to do what pleases the flesh rather than what pleases the Spirit. How important it is. If we're going to follow the Lord Jesus, if we're going to deny ourselves and take up our crosses daily and follow him, how important it is that we handle this pressure so that we might properly reflect him. The Lord Jesus, moving ever closer to the cross here as the book of Luke progresses, and that pressure building. And in chapter 12, we're going to see a number of things that the pressure from the world and the flesh and the devil is coming against us to actually turn us away from what the Lord Jesus desires for us to be. So we're going to see that pressure turning us away from, first of all, we're going to look this morning to turn us away from being real. Secondly, I hope we get to this, I think we will, turning us away from being reverent. We probably won't get past that, but next Sunday, depending on how far we get, I'd like for us to look also at the pressure against us to turn us away from being rich. You say, I want to be there at that one. Well, that's rich toward God. I'll give you a little heads up there as we get into it. And then finally, the pressure against us to turn us away from being ready, for the Lord Jesus to come back. So as that pressure turns us away from these things, guess what? It's turning us toward some very dangerous alternatives, hazardous to your spiritual health. There may not be a warning label from the Surgeon General on the side of it, but let me tell you, it's hazardous to your spiritual health. So we want to handle these pressures. So let's start out with this thought of handling the pressure from the world and the flesh and the devil against us being real. Now let's just read verses 1 through 3 to get started in that. Chapter 12 of Luke, the first verse. In the meantime, when an innumerable multitude of people had gathered together so that they trampled one another, he began to say to his disciples, first of all, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. For there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, nor hidden that will not be known. Therefore, whatever you have spoken in the dark will be heard in the light, and what you have spoken in the ear in inner rooms will be proclaimed on the housetops. So we have a desired characteristic here. It's the characteristic of reality. Reality. Who we really are. We'll talk more about that as we work our way through. But I just want to touch for a moment on the dangerous alternative to being real. Here's where the world and the flesh and the devil are trying to conform us, trying to pressure us away from a reality of who we are and lead us to what we read about was the leaven of the Pharisees, and that is hypocrisy. Hypocrisy. Hiding the inward reality by presenting my preferred image. We might call this an unhealthy concern about what others think of us. An unhealthy concern. There is a healthy concern about what others think of us. I should have a testimony for the Lord Jesus. I desire that my life reflects Him. That people look at me and they see the Lord Jesus. That's what I desire. I need to be concerned about my testimony before others, about the reputation I have, that it's a godly testimony, that it's a Christ-like reputation. So that's a healthy concern, but there's also an unhealthy concern. And that's hypocrisy. That's that people would think a certain way of me that I might feel better about myself, even though I'm hiding what's really inside. And as I study this, and as I share this with you, the question comes to my mind and my heart that I hope you'll ask yourself, am I a hypocrite? Am I a hypocrite? Do I seek to hide my inward reality and promote my preferred image? Mark Twain, who was no theologian, I don't even believe he was a believer based on what he himself said, but he had an interesting quote about people in general, believers and unbelievers. He said, we're all like the moon. We have a dark side we don't want anyone to see. Am I a hypocrite? You know, I have to confess to you this morning that to some degree I am a hypocrite. There are things of motives that I have, attitudes that go through my mind and my heart that are not what I would want you to see. I'm not saying that in order to not be a hypocrite, in order to be real, that we have to tell everything about us to everyone. That's not the point. I don't think that's the point of what the Lord Jesus was saying. We know that with these people, the Pharisees, as we saw in chapter 11, They were saying one thing about themselves, but that was not their intent at all. These were men and women who had never received the Lord Jesus as Savior. So they were trying to put up a front of spirituality and religiosity that was not true of their hearts. It's a little bit different situation for those who have trusted the Lord Jesus. Now, you may be here this morning and you've never received the Lord Jesus as your Savior. You may desperately want other people to think, though, that you are right with God, that you're a follower of the Lord Jesus. And so you may be seeking to portray a particular image to fit what you think other people want to see, particularly here. But even as believers in the Lord Jesus, there's pressure on us that we might present an image that says, in essence, I don't have any spiritual struggles. I've got it all together. Look at me and see how much like the Lord Jesus I am when I know that inside, that's not completely true. The point of being real is not to air all our dirty laundry in front of everyone. Rather, I believe that it's to be honest about the fact that we do struggle. I think that if someone has the impression that I'm perfect, I'm somehow not being real. Again, not that I need to tell them or everyone, here's the problem that I'm struggling with, here are some issues that I have. There should be people in our lives that we're able to share that with. We'll talk about that in a few moments. But you know, we need to be careful as followers of the Lord Jesus that we don't give the wrong impression that once we get saved, that we don't have any struggles anymore. You know, there are people in your life that may think that. I don't know. They look at you and they say, wow, that person's got it all together and I could never be like that. There are even believers in the Lord Jesus who come probably and gather in this meeting and they look around and they initially think, you know, everybody else has it together. Everybody but me. And I can't let anybody know the struggles I have because they're all perfect. Look at them. Well, let me tell you something. That's not true. It's not true of me. It's not true of anybody. We all struggle. We all have battles. Our battles may be different. But all of us have struggles. Some of us may be more aware of our struggles. You know, if somebody thinks I'm perfect, my first reaction is to be shocked that they would ever think that. But you know what? A lot of times people can't see not only what goes on in our lives when we're alone, but I think more so for many of us, what goes on in our heads. You see, the reality of Mark Shelley is that I struggle. That I struggle with weakness, that I struggle with wickedness, that I struggle with weariness. And you know what? The point of that and the point of me sharing that with you is to stress that I, just like all of us, continually need the grace of God. You know, sometimes we come to the Lord Jesus for salvation. We recognize our guilt before God. We know we're sinners. We know that we've sinned against a holy God and there's nothing we can do. We're helpless. We're hopeless. And we see that the Lord Jesus died for us. And He shed His blood for us. And He rose again for us and He offers salvation and we come to God receiving His grace and by grace we're saved through faith. And we praise God for that. But then we go on into our Christian lives and we forget about grace. We don't realize that we need grace continually. That it's the grace of God that is teaching us to deny ungodliness and worldly lust. You see, that the grace of God is continually to work in our lives, and we are not, though we are born again, though we are new creations, we are not now capable in ourselves of living in a way that pleases God. No, we still must rely on the grace of God. And you see, that's what I want you to know about me. You don't need to know every struggle I have, but you need to know that I daily, moment by moment, need the grace of God. And if you don't know that about me, I'm being a hypocrite. I'm making you think that I have it all together, no problems, And if you could just be like me, you would be spiritual. You see, we all struggle. We're all on the journey. We're all following the Lord Jesus, hopefully. All of us who know the Lord Jesus as Savior. So the point is not whether or not we have this pressure against us to be hypocritical. The question is, am I handling that pressure? And that's what I want us to think about for a few moments, drawing some principles out of the verses that we've read. Some keys to handling the pressure. First of all, to be on guard, okay? The Lord Jesus uses the word beware. Be aware. Watch out for the leaven of the Pharisees. You see, if we don't watch out, we're going to miss it, you see. We've got to be on guard because hypocrisy, first of all, is subtle. Hypocrisy is subtle. It doesn't come up and slap us in the face. No, it's like leaven. It's like yeast. You put it inside the flour, the dough, and it begins to work its way through very subtly. You can't just see it going through. You see the results, but you don't see it. It's a very subtle thing. And you see this whole idea of hypocrisy, this whole idea of putting on a front for other people and not being honest that we have struggles and we need the grace of God. That gradually goes through our character. And if we're not careful, we, as fellow believers, can actually encourage that in others because we're not being real. It's a subtle progression. We've got to be on guard. It's easy to overlook. In Ephesians 4:27, we're told not to give the devil a place, not to give the devil a foothold. Don't even let him get his foot in the door. Don't leave a crack available. Be on guard. Watch out. I need to watch my life. Is hypocrisy working its way through my life? You see, because that's another thing about hypocrisy. It spreads. In Galatians 5:9 and in 1 Corinthians 5:6, Paul, by the Spirit of God, makes it very clear that a little leaven, a little yeast, leavens the whole lump. You put a little bit into one spot and it gradually works its way all the way through the whole lump of dough. And that's the way hypocrisy does. It gradually spreads like leaven, working through that subtle progression. If I just let, I've got a little bit of hypocrisy, that's okay. I can handle that. No, you can't handle that. It'll spread. Another thing you need to be on guard about is see that hypocrisy sours. Eventually, leaven will sour whatever it spreads through. If it's left to its own devices, it will eventually sour that. And hypocrisy, if we don't deal with it, if we're not watching out for it, if we don't take it seriously, if we think that's just for other people, and we don't realize that we need to be on guard, that there's a pressure against us not to be real, then it will sour in our lives and eventually it will become evident. So the first key is to be on guard. The second key is to understand that exposure is certain. Go back again and read with me there in verse 2, the words of the Lord Jesus. For there is nothing covered that will not be revealed, nor hidden that will not be known. Therefore, whatever you have spoken in the dark will be heard in the light, and what you have spoken in the ear and inner rooms will be proclaimed on the housetops. The wording in the Greek there brings out that whatever is completely covered, the word that's used has a prefix on it. It's not just covered, it's completely covered. Those things that are hidden away, and I think that they can't be seen by anyone. The Lord Jesus said, no, they're going to be completely uncovered. Those things that are hidden, those things that are concealed, they will be revealed. Words of the Lord Jesus. Those things that are communicated in the darkness are going to be proclaimed in the light. Well, I think this could go a couple of ways, and I want to make one emphasis in that phrase of the Lord Jesus, and another emphasis in the next phrase. We saw back in chapter 11 about the light of the gospel being hidden, the truth being hidden, not allowing it to come into our eyes and affect our lives. You may remember that. Well, you know what? There are things that are only communicated in the darkness that are going to be proclaimed in the light. And unfortunately, one of those things is the gospel message. As believers, and we're going to see this in our second point of being reverent, but one of the issues that we have as believers is not declaring the light, not declaring the gospel message. When we talk about it, you could say in a sense we're in the inner room here, aren't we? We can talk about it. I can talk about the gospel right here, and I can tell you about it, and I can be bold, and I can speak it clearly. What about when I leave this building? Am I just speaking it in the inner room? Am I just talking about it here? Are we just fellowshipping around the Lord Jesus at the Lord's Supper? Are we just talking about the things of God here? And then when we go outside, we keep that hidden. Well, it's eventually, the gospel message is going to reach every ear, every knee is going to bow. Unfortunately, too late for most people. Every tongue is going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. But for some of them, it will be too late. My responsibility to share the gospel, am I keeping it quiet and under wraps? Because I want people to think a certain way of me here, but I want them to think a certain way of me a different way out there. He also speaks here of whispers, things secretly spoken into an ear in an inside room. It's going to be proclaimed from the top of the house. They had the flat roofs in that day, as they still do often in the Middle East, and you could go up there and rest or walk around. And the picture is of someone standing up there and calling out the secrets, the things that we've hidden, the things that we've told only to those maybe closest to us, that we've only told to our accomplices, maybe that we've only told to ourselves. Again, not that those things need to be declared to everyone, but if I am trying to portray an image that I don't have any struggles, I don't have any battles, I don't have any problems, I'm past all that, then I'm being a hypocrite. And the Lord is going to expose that in His way, in His time. You know, exposure is certain. It's certain for unbelievers. In Romans 2 and verse 16, we read that a day is coming when God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ. Revelation 20 tells us about that. It's called the Great White Throne Judgment. And there in verse 12, John, in a vision, was able to look into the future and then record it for us. And he says, I saw the dead, small and great, standing before God, and the books were opened. The books were open. God doesn't miss a thing. There's nothing in the darkness that He doesn't see. His Word exposes us. He knows everything. And in that day, unbelievers are going to stand before Him. Those who refuse to receive the Lord Jesus in this life. They refused to respond to the evidence of God's existence in creation, possibly. Or maybe they heard the gospel every Sunday and had people in their families and friends and at work that shared the gospel with them, and they rejected that. It's all going to be exposed in a future day. But what about for those of us who know the Lord Jesus? Well, we read in 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 5 about the judgment seat of Christ, not the great white throne judgment. Only the unbelievers, the unsaved, will be brought before the great white throne judgment. But we also read about the judgment seat of Christ, when believers are going to be held accountable for our lives as believers. Not before we were saved, but after we were saved. What do we do with the opportunities, the privileges, the gifts, the resources that God gave to us? And we read in 1 Corinthians 4:5 that we're to judge nothing before the time, because there can be a lot of hypocrisy going on. Don't judge before the time until the Lord comes, who will bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the hearts. That pierces into my heart this morning. You see, what I am on the outside is not all that the Lord Jesus sees. He sees what I am on the inside. He says, be on guard. Realize that it's going to be one day exposed. I'm thankful also for the grace of God, 1 Corinthians 4:5. I got to read the last phrase of that verse. It says, then each one's praise will come from God. You know, isn't God gracious? He's going to find within me, within every believer, something praiseworthy. Where we allow the life of the Lord Jesus to be lived through us. Where we were obedient with the right motive and we allowed God to work in our lives. He's going to find that. I don't want Him to have to search real hard. I want to be real. Well, there's one other key to handling the pressure I would like to just mention, and that's to address it vigorously. This whole idea of hypocrisy. Just a couple of very basic truths, things you already know probably, but we need to be reminded of these things as believers. And we're dealing with something as dangerous as hypocrisy. First of all, we need to confess it. If it's true, if the Spirit of God convicts you, the Spirit of God comes and says, you know what? You're not being honest with yourself. And you're not letting others know that you need the Lord Jesus every day. I need Thee every hour, we sing. Do I really understand that? Am I really letting people know that? But it's all because of Him. It's all about Him. It's by Him working in my life through the Holy Spirit. It's not me. Praise God, it's Him. Am I willing to confess to God, Lord, You already know I'm a hypocrite, and I want to agree with You. That's what the word confess means, to agree with. Are we willing to agree with God? God, I've been putting on a front. God, I've not been honest. I've tried to make people think that I've got it all together, and I'm not willing to acknowledge my moment-by-moment need of You. I confess that. Well, if you're willing to confess that, here's a second way to address it vigorously, because Satan, your enemy, is going to really fight you on this next practical point. You need to embrace forgiveness. You see, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin. And hypocrisy is one of those sins. And He's willing to forgive us, and He will. He said, if you confess your sin, He's faithful and just to forgive your sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That's a promise. It's a promise. But we need to take it just a step further here with this whole idea of confessing and being forgiven, and that's to forsake it. I need to turn away. I need to repent. If I'm living in this area of hypocrisy in my life, and I'm not saying your whole life is full of hypocrisy, maybe it is. You know if you're one person here and somebody else somewhere else. You know your family probably knows if that's true. But maybe your family can't even see your hypocrisy because maybe it's all internal. But if you realize there's an area of hypocrisy in my life, there's a lot of hypocrisy in my life, whatever, then I've got to confess that to God, embrace His forgiveness, and then turn around the other way. And there's the Lord Jesus. He's waiting to give me that victory. I appreciate our brother James in the Lord's Supper this morning. He brought us to the end of Romans 7. Speaking of our wretchedness, and he brought us to the beginning of verse 8 that our brother Bunny had already mentioned earlier. No condemnation. You see, we have the victory through the Spirit of God. And it's there by grace. If I'm willing to walk by faith through the grace of God, He's willing to enable me to do that. Well, let me encourage you to enlist help. I'm supposed to have help on there. Not enlist, not like go join the military. If you feel like that would be beneficial, but that's supposed to have the word help out beside it. Enlist help. You need other people in your life who can encourage you. I'm not saying that you have to tell them every deep, dark secret, but someone that you can say, hey, I am struggling, and I need you to pray for me, and I need you to encourage me, and I need you to share Scripture with me, and I need you to hold me accountable. And maybe you do need to share that issue that's going on in your life. Maybe it's something that's not only mental, but it's something you're doing. It could be pornography. It could be lying. It could be some other type of deceit, dishonesty. It could be neglect of a responsibility, and you know that that's going on in your life. Enlist help. There are plenty of people that love you and that will be willing to do that. And you know what? When you acknowledge your own need of the grace of God, you know what that oftentimes does? It enables someone else to share with you, because they know that you're not going to condemn them because you don't have any problems. If somebody thinks you don't have any issues, they might not be as quick to come to you, because that person is going to condemn me and judge me, and they don't understand because they don't have any problems or struggles. Well, we all do. Enlist help, and then finally claim victory. This is just stepping out in obedient faith. It's taking the Word of God and immersing myself in the Word of God to find out what it is that God wants me to do and how He wants me to live, and recognize that it's only by grace. It's not something I earn. It's not something I deserve. I'm never going to go out there and be good enough in my own strength. I'm never going to be like the Lord Jesus in my own ability. But by the grace of God, I can do that by faith as I step out. And when God says, you love, then I step out in faith and I actively seek to love, trusting God to enable me to love even my enemies. But sometimes we need to start just by loving those closest to us. And when the Lord tells me to rejoice always, well, I can't do that in my own strength, but I can. He'll enable me to do it. I'm going to step out in faith, and I'm going to seek to rejoice. I'm going to find things to rejoice about. And when something goes bad, I'm going to look for something to rejoice in. God's working. Our son Joseph was leaving with three of his friends on a trip. Three of them were seniors, and one was a junior, but they were going to kind of celebrate their graduation from college, going over to England and Scotland. And so they went to the airport 1 o'clock on Friday for a 3 o'clock flight, all excited. So I texted Joseph about 5. They should be in New York at JFK now, you know, getting ready to. Are you in JFK yet? Still at Raleigh-Durham. Well, they were still at Raleigh-Durham. They finally got into New York like at midnight. So they get up the next morning after sleeping in the airport. They get up, sleep a few hours, get up and go to the desk and try to get the tickets worked out. Two of the guys were in the system. They get on the 7:30 a.m. flight. They're heading out to Jolly, England. Joseph, another guy, their names, couldn't find them. What do you do in that situation? My wife says you find something to praise God about. You rejoice. Because you can't do that in your own strength. But if you don't step out and you don't seek to find something to rejoice in, you're not going to rejoice. I've got to step forward. I've got to say, I'm going to rejoice, Lord. You help me. You've got to enable me to do it. But I can't just sit there and wait for God to cause joy to come out of my mouth or be in my heart or to cause pride. I've got to do it and trust Him to enable me. I've got to step out in obedient faith. So here's a little principle maybe to kind of sum it up in a sense. To be honest about myself with God. He already knows. I'm not hiding anything from God. I may be a hypocrite in front of everybody else, but I'm not a hypocrite in front of God. Remember what we read in chapter 11. The Lord Jesus, knowing their thoughts. And He knows your thoughts. He knows my thoughts. He knows my motives, your motives. He knows the intentions of our hearts. He knows our attitudes. He knows where we struggle. He knows where we're battling with. I've got to be honest about myself with God. I've got to be honest about myself with myself. So many hypocrites are like we read about in the book of James, look into the Word of God, look into the mirror and see the issue and then turn away and forget all about it. The devil loves to come, like we read about in the parable of the sower, and come in and pluck that seed away. We've got to let it go down into our hearts and our minds. And then, as is appropriate, be honest with ourselves, about ourselves, excuse me, with others. Even if it's just a recognition to them that, you know, if it wasn't for the Lord Jesus. You know, I'm still struggling. I'm on the journey. I have my struggles, but praise God, He's given me victory. Or sometimes I'm embracing the victory and claiming it. Sometimes I'm failing to. It's always available. But you know, I need the grace of God every day. It's not about me having it all together. It's not about you having it all together. Rather, it's about the Lord Jesus. It's all about Him. And our eyes being on Him. And our hearts being with Him. And us taking up our crosses daily, denying ourselves by faith and following Him. And Him being seen in our lives. We didn't get very far, but that's okay. We got next Sunday. Lord willing, unless we're in heaven, that'll be okay too. And you won't have to listen to me preach. You won't need it then. So, all right. Handling pressure against being real, being honest. We might say, well, I may not be real, but that's okay. Well, I'm going to say you're either real or you're being a hypocrite. So let's take that seriously. If you don't know the Lord Jesus this morning, He wants to save you. He wants to forgive you and change your life and give you the ability to have victory. That's what He wants for all of us. And He's doing that in so many lives. And we want to see Him do it in your life. We'd love to talk with you. If we could talk with you about any struggles in your lives, we'd consider that a great privilege to share it. And to keep it in confidence. And I know there are many others who would do that as well. So let's pray. Father, we give You thanks this morning for allowing us to gather together freely. Allowing us to be here and to be reminded of the words of the Lord Jesus. Who told us to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Lord, He was speaking, we read there in that passage, He was speaking to His disciples, first of all. Wasn't speaking to the multitudes at that point. Father, we know He was talking to us who want to follow the Lord Jesus. Help us to be on guard, to recognize the danger, the dangerous alternative to reality. Thank You for forgiving us. Thank You that we're not what we were. Lord, we confess we're not what we should be. We thank You that You're shaping us. You're conforming us. Not to be like the world, not according to our former lust, but You're conforming us to the very image of Your Son, the Lord Jesus. Father, we're not there yet. We've not yet attained, as Paul said, perfection. But Lord, we want You to do a great work in our lives to help us to encourage others through the reality of who we are. And we thank You for the Lord Jesus. May our eyes be on Him. We praise You for the forgiveness we have through Him, the ability to have victory, and we pray in His name, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Thank you.